we did tonight, man, you can open the whole field up for those playmakers. And we'll have some fun in these parts next year.
We had a right to be down for this football game.
Absolutely.
We had a right to be down.
Absolutely.
And that's a testament to what Bush and the staff and the players, because there is no quitting this team. I've seen that since day one. Go back to a year ago in Columbia, down 2 scores under 5 minutes. I mean, hello, this team don't quit. This team's fought their rears off all season. I mean, wins or losses, this team has no quit.
No, and they're really, what's crazy about this team is they're well coached and they're kind of poorly coached at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
And they have fun, and they seem to play well together. They all seem to get along. I don't think there's no cancers in the locker room.
No. You don't mean that stuff that was going on when Dooley was here. Dooley was so far over his head. And think about if you're a Texas fan right now. This is year two, right, of Charlie Strong? Yes, year
right.
two. They got beat 24-0 by Iowa State today. How would you like to be in the middle of that?
Well, you talk about Mark Richt. Should he take the escape route to Miami if available?
Yeah.
Should Charlie Strong, if approached by South Carolina, should he look at that as a, you know,
hey,
perhaps resetting
his
clock?
That would be a win-win for both Georgia, because Georgia wants rid of him. The fans would want rid of him. And that Miami, that would be the best thing for Miami. He's a former player. I think he's from Southern Florida, and he would clean up the program, I think.
He's a he played quarterback there. He was the backup quarterback for Vinny Testaverde.
Or
Jim Kelly.
Let me finish off this. The Mosley hit, obviously we all know it was wrong. I think Butch is going to try to go to the SEC office and try to overturn it. Here's my thing. If they overturn it, let's just say if that was fourth down on the goal line, the penalty's thrown, they get a first down, Kentucky scores. If you overturn the Mosley hit and he gets to start next week and he's eligible, how are you going to look as the SEC if you overturn a penalty set at the goal line and the touchdown scores, you know, on the previous play, on the ensuing play?
It doesn't matter. That kind of thing.
You can't back that up.
No, but what we're talking about here is whether or not a kid's eligible for next week. The call stands. That's always how they handle this matter. The question now becomes is we can't go back and put the genie back in the bottle, but we can right a wrong in giving this kid a half a football back. And these days are finite. You know, these kids have. It'd be terrible for Mosley to be suspended for a first half next week.
And it's not like this is a bunch of Tennessee fans, you know, just arguing because they want their team to win a game. Mosley's been beaten out by Justin Martin. He's not a starter anymore. It's really just a moral issue. I mean, it was not a targeting penalty. Plain and simple, he should get the suspension, first half suspension lifted.
Hey, best of luck to 9:30 in the morning to former Vol Jim Bob Cooter. He makes his debut tomorrow as a play caller, and I think he will be a future OC or head coach here in Big Orange Country later on down the road. The guy's got a future, I think, as a football coach.
Thank you, brother.
You just don't call plays at 31 in the NFL.
No, absolutely not. Thank you. Great phone call. And people laughed at Jim Bob for his name. Nobody's laughing now. Look at that deluge right there.
I think it's an interesting point. He's got Matt Stafford and Megatron up there. If he can get them going, all of a sudden he becomes a hot name in the NFL.
Right.
And he will have, I don't know if he has any college coaching aspirations, but he could be that guy, you know, that Tennessee fans, the Gruden people.
Yeah.
He could be the next guy who's like, oh, you know, we got to bring Jim Bob Cooter home.
When Jim Bob Cooter was a walk-on here and people were laughing at his name, who would have ever thought? It just goes to show.
Well, he got arrested for drunkenly stumbling into some girl's apartment and trying to get in bed with her.
Blame a guy for that.
He was a joke,
right?
But now all of a sudden he's the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
America's a great place. We're the land of opportunity, like Rocky said. The Temple Owls believe that tonight. Almost got out of there with a win. I just want our volunteers to believe that. And start beating people. That's what's going to be really fun next year. Now we're going to beat who's in front of us, and that's great.
Learn to win.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't take South Carolina lightly next week, Dubs. I watched some of that with A&M today. I was learning some Italian mandolin tunes today. titles I can't even pronounce, and was watching that game.
You're really getting in touch with your Italian side, right? The pizza. The
I'm going to come across the counter on you. Actually, I just like I like playing, and it's got some jazzy and some cool grace notes in it, and it's fun. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. We've hit the 1 o'clock hour, which I don't know. I guess we've been at this a couple hours now. Time flies and you're having fun. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Oh, Hatfield, what's up?
Hey, Hatfield, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just a fantastic day. Tennessee takes care of Tennessee takes care of business.
Yeah? What else, Hatfield? What else made it a fantastic day?
American Pharaoh goes out as a champion should. Texas gets shut out. Auburn loses. If Temple had been able to close out, that probably would have been a solid. I would have had to put this down as a solid day, but the end of the game in Durham made the day completely worthwhile.
So you're not shedding any tears. You're not shedding any tears for what happened with Duke today.
No, that's karma for the sham they ran on the lacrosse team up there. They deserve that every Saturday and every time they line up to play basketball.
Even me in my Duke hatred, in my level of Duke hatred, could not muster that up.
Oh no, Tony, and if Miami hires Mark Richt, that stiff white version of Rick Ray to run that storied program, the football alums should go burn Pro Players Stadium or whatever they call it now. Sun Life Stadium down.
How would they find a more accomplished football coach?
Who
than
accomplished
than,
at what? Taking 11-1 talent and going 9-3.
He's won two SEC championships.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude.
In 100 years,
play the Rick Ray card. I mean, come on.
Mark Richt should be coaching Miami the same way that Pat Boone should be the head of Megadeth.
What? Just because you said it doesn't necessarily mean it's so. First of all, he's from there. Secondly, he's an alum of the school. Thirdly, he has the recruiting bona fides and a success in that region, which says that he would be successful.
How many good players from South Florida has he recruited to Georgia?
Oh, he's had some good plays. They've had plenty of success in Florida. Come on, man.
South Florida, the state of Miami. As Howard Schnellenberger so eloquently called it.
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. I know one thing. I want Miami to get good again because I want them to neutralize Florida, yep. And I also need them to neutralize Alabama.
Good Miami.
From a Tennessee standpoint.
Sure.
A good Miami, because let me tell you something. Alabama has done really well out of the state of Miami.
See, I only want Miami to be good again if Miami's going to be Miami.
I liked Miami when they were Miami, because we all need a heel.
Some kind of scrubbed up, out doing ministry work football team does nothing for me in Miami. We got enough of those out there. We got Baptist Notre Dame in the top five. We got enough of those already.
Well, I'll say this. I really believe at the end of all this that it's going to be interesting to see who they hire. Who would you go after, Hatfield? Since you seem to care about that Miami deal, and I know you spent time down there.
Well, it should be Butch Davis. That's no.
You would take him back. You would take Butch Davis back, who left him, who lied to him and left him.
The fact they didn't hire him when they fired Golden last Sunday, the fact he didn't coach the game tonight shows that there's a complete disconnect. But you've got academicians running the place who just as soon see them become Virginia and go 2-10 every year. They'll hire some stiff shirt like Al Golden or Mark Richt, and they'll be 6-6 for the next 15 years.
The thing about them is, when you look at their deal, when they had their last glory run, it was before the arms race. Now that the arms race has happened, it's a night and day difference, the facilities they have versus whoever they're recruiting against. It doesn't even matter if it's
Duke.
They
have no facilities.
They have no facilities at all. And they have no on-campus stadium. How far of a drive is it from Coral Gables to where they're currently playing their games, Keith?
45 minutes.
That's what I thought.
Well, Well, given the crowds they're drawing, there is no traffic, so 45 minutes.
But a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
I think going away from the Orange Bowl was as significant to them as, you know, any bad hire that they've had. That took away a lot of the mystique.
Yep. And when it was torn to the ground, that basically took their program and threw it somewhere. They're another program without identity, not to the point of Nebraska. Keith, Nebraska has zero identity. You want to talk about something that's idiotic right now? Major college football. How would you like to be a Nebraska fan and wake up tomorrow morning knowing that Purdue just rocked your world?
Well, I don't know how happy Nebraska fans have been waking up for this long knowing they're in the Big Ten.
That's my point. They have no identity at all. Zero.
Well, no. I mean, the entire conference reshuffling has put a bunch of teams. I mean, why Colorado in the Pac-12?
Right. West Virginia.
West Virginia in the Big 12.
Exactly.
I think that's certainly something you look at. And I mean, has anybody really benefited from changing conferences other than maybe Utah?
No.
I mean, who's got a really good deal in?
A&M.
I guess TCU has, but they moved up.
No, A&M has financially, but on the field, they're not moving any bars. Everybody keeps telling me how A&M's coming. What the hell have they done? Johnny Manziel got lucky one year against Alabama. What have they done in this league?
Well, they might not have a lot of hardware. Someone's going to be smart enough to get the hell out of there, too.
Go ahead. Tell me, Russell, what they've done.
They might not have a lot of hardware, but you look at where they were in the Big 12 compared with Texas, which is, for those people, what they measure themselves against. They have completely switched places with Texas. Texas is irrelevant right now, has been for a couple of years. A&M is the school.
They're both irrelevant. So they've destabilized each other, and they're both irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Texas A&M is, in our league, do you think about Texas A&M? I mean, be honest.
A&M was holding on by their fingernails to beat South Carolina today.
Thank you.
They were holding on. He's the hell out of there at the end of the year.
They were holding on.
Does anybody feel confident about going down there to win next year if you're Tennessee?
Yes. With our football team, yes. In a word, yes.
It's a hard road
trip. That's by far the easiest of those four games.
Totally agree with that. If I'm ranking those four games, that A&M game's the easiest.
No,
Russell, they are a paper... whatever they are. I mean, I'm telling you, if you'd have seen that game today, South Carolina
was in it to win it, man. Yeah, they're struggling at the quarterback position, but, I mean, the original point is they have definitely bettered themselves
by switching
to the SEC.
I don't think so. Without a doubt. I don't see it. How are they better?
From the Alamo Bowl to the Liberty Bowl.
You're saying they're irrelevant. They were irrelevant before. They were a mid-major team. Now they're in the best conference in the country. They've got more money than they've ever known, they've ever had, than they could ever know what to do with.
It's a money deal.
They've conquered the most talent-rich state in the country.
They haven't done a thing for their fans. They're totally out of there.
They haven't done a thing for their fans. They've got the biggest stadium in the country.
Their fans have to drive the furthest of any fan base in the country to go to games.
It's a small world now. Doesn't matter.
It's idiotic. And I'm not going to even attempt to defend it. Neither are you. Keith, anything else for us on the way out? How'd the basketball scrimmage come today on the way out? Give me a good update on that.
Went well by all accounts. Handled Davidson pretty well in the game portion of the scrimmage. The situational stuff didn't go terribly well, but certainly something at least early that's promising. I mean, that's one of the defending regular season A-10 champs.
Yep.
That's better than I would have expected today.
I understand.
The situational stuff's going to look like garbage all year because you don't have a point guard, so I would have expected that.
I understand Mostella showed out today.
That's my understanding. He hit some shots. So I guess him constantly being harangued in practice is getting through to him.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
No problem.
You can hear Hatfield on right here on the app, 1 o'clock on Fridays from 1 to 3, holding court with Keith Hatfield. Let's go back to our phones. He was holding court there. Jerry Colquitt is supposed to call us at any moment now. And let's go back and get our next call in. Jerry needs my number. How many times do we do this, Jerry? You need the number? Put the number in your phone, Jerry. put the number in your phone. Let's do this on the air. I mean, my gosh.
If you're Nebraska,
yes.
would you consider making a run at Paul Johnson, bring back the option offense?
Yes. Get back to who you are. Yes. In a word, yes. I'm telling you, that's a coach worship deal. When you worship coaches, that's where you end up. You end up on the ends of the earth. Yeah. That's why I don't worship coaches.
Hello?
Hey, Chief, you're in here. You ready?
I'm ready, Tom.
All right, lock and load. I'm going to get you asking for your thoughts, but let's go to the phones and keep our phone calls coming because it's only 15 minutes past 1 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, and I sound wide awake. Hello and welcome as we celebrate Tennessee's huge 52-21 victory tonight over Kentucky and the day that's been in college football. It's been a great day. Hello and welcome in.
All right. How's it going?
Hey, TR, welcome in, man.
Hey, is that Coach Jerry Glanville?
That's Coach Jerry Colquitt.
Oh, damn. FEMA quadrant what?
What FEMA quadrant are you in, Jerry?
Ten,
baby, ten.
Yeah. What's up, Jerry?
Oh, not much. How you doing? Hey,
turn
your volume down. You can listen to this. Hold on.
Yeah, man. You Skyping tonight? Batilio got you on Skype in the Raymere studio.
No, he's not. He's not joining us live via Skype. Here in our InfoWars studios. He's not. No.
The Skype King.
Nope.
Jerry, that 94 season, man. What could have been, brother, if you hadn't have went down, man? That was going to be our year, man. 94.
Yeah, I know, Tony, I don't think I told you this, but this summer, the Pac-12 network came out here. And they did a TV interview for me for this special that I think they're going to air it on Tuesday. I'll give you guys the exact time. Yeah, they're supposed to doing Pac-12 Classics. I think this coming week or the week after they're supposed to do a review of the Tennessee-UCLA 94 game. So I'll make sure that gets out to your fan base.
Oh, wow. And for those not familiar, for the younger kids listening, Jerry had worked and was behind Heath Schuler. And so Heath turns pro. Jerry gets a shot to start. It's his last year. Jerry grew up in Oak Ridge, and Jerry was very good in practice. He was a very good player. Had a high level of respect that he commanded from everybody involved. And how many plays did you play, Jerry? Was it seven or nine? How many?
I think it was about six or seven, somewhere in there. yeah, but that was all I got for the season.
Moving the ball right down the field.
Right down the field, and
blew your knee out.
Sustained a ACL injury, non-contact injury at that. It was almost like watching, I don't know if you guys saw Todd Gurley's injury last year where he would just run up through the hole and try to make a cut and just on the grass. In fact, same scenario. Grass field out there at the Rose Bowl, and man, it just buckled me. But one day, Tony, we ought to talk about that series because I've never really just come on here and talk about a lot of the side shows that were also going on just within my own personal life and some of the other stuff that were going on behind the scenes as far as my 6 year. We ought to do that.
Love to, man.
When I try to apply for 6 year, but we can get more into that later. Yeah.
Love to hear those stories.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, man. I was wanting you to get a 6 year, but you know, you had the whole, coronate Peyton Manning as a true freshman, but you know, no offense, man. No offense to Peyton. I just wish you'd had a shot, dude, to have a whole season under your belt, man. I appreciate you, being a BFL in a, you know, without really getting a true shot at a, you know what I mean, Jerry? To lead the big orange, you know, game in, game out.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? I, again, you know, we've been talking, especially here the last couple of weeks, with just some of the heartbreaking losses under Butch Jones and Derek Dooley's belt. But, you know, I really came there because I thought in my heart, I mean, it was the place I wanted to be. I mean, you know, when you grow up, and we talk about it all the time, you know, when you grow up as an East Tennessee Vol, East Tennessee Vol, and then you sign with University of Tennessee, it is a different deal than if you're from Nashville or versus if you're from Memphis or especially if you're from out of state. So, you know, it just brings out more. That much more excitement, and yeah, I really do.
I want to say something. 1 week after the Alabama game in '93, Shula was hurt, man. The fourth quarter, Shula got hurt in the fourth quarter, and Alabama knew it, but Fulmer wouldn't put you in, man. They sealed the deal there in '93, and they come back and freaking, you know, it felt like a loss, even though it was a tie, man. But I had something I had to get off my chest. If I hadn't got it off before, I get it off again, okay?
No, hey, I totally hear you. Yeah, that was one of the interesting points. And, you know, here that we just played Alabama last weekend. So that was one of the intriguing parts about that game is people don't really know. Is, you know, Heath Shuler, he was playing that fourth quarter with one arm.
And Fulmer knew it, but okay, man, that's water under the bridge. But go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt, man.
Oh no, I was just saying. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, it's just those dynamics of a season. I mean, Heath wouldn't come out. I was in the ear of Coach Cutcliffe and Coach Fulmer. I was letting him know, hey, I'll do everything I can to make sure we get this victory. Almost feel like Heath didn't want to come out because. In that moment, I mean, how can you come out and allow the other person to finish off the deal? You know what I mean? So it's like all these interesting dynamics, man. Like, it just makes my experience at Tennessee, I'm that much more grateful for it. Because, like, I mean, there's so much stuff. We ought to get into it, Tony, one day. I mean, there's a whole show worth of stuff. But it just makes my experience that much more. And so, like, when you guys hear me on here with Tony and the guys, I mean, that's really what it's all about. I mean, I really loved it from when I was a shorty, you know, growing up in Oak Ridge all the way through my experiences, even when they were hard, you know, those last couple of years, everything that I endured, I still love every minute of it. So, definitely a VFL all the way through and through.
Like a couple weeks ago, Jerry, when you told that story, and there were some people over in the Carolinas, one gentleman wrote me a tremendous email that I ran at TonyBasilio.com, but there were a couple people over in the Carolinas who, when you said what you said about your love of the program, and it was after one of those terrible losses this year. You know, we had a 3 or 4 gut punch type losses, and you basically said, look, we have to consider what we're doing here. We have to understand that this is going to get better, that this is special, that it's a great thing that we get to come together to do what we're doing here. And it was just really eloquent what you said that night and what it meant to you to be here and what it meant to you to wear the uniform. And yeah, I always have a soft spot for you, Jerry. I think you're a little Looney Tunes sometimes, but I have a soft spot for you. I really do.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, to me, you know, I just have moments I can just remember. I mean, you know, growing up in East Tennessee, in Oak Ridge, and it's stuff like, I can remember when my dad and I, when I told you before, Tony, at one point, prior to, my family getting season tickets, we didn't have season tickets, so we just go over to the stadium and wing it, and it was kind of like a routine. We always stop at the Smoky Mountain Market, on Oak Ridge Highway, you know, through Carnes, through, the Knoxville College campus. we stop over there and get us two chili dogs and hot and a Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the game, and somehow my dad, like, it was the most hilarious thing. We never had tickets, but we somehow ended up with the best seats in the house. And on the way back, we stopped by, I don't know if you guys remember this place, remember Nasty Jack's Barbecue over there on Knoxville College campus?
I wasn't allowed on Knoxville College's campus, Jerry. My hair by the time I got here was shorter.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're right on campus, man. They had this barbecue place called Nasty Jack's, and it was standing room only. Every Saturday.
TR! Did you ever go to Nasty Jack's, TR?
What street was it on?
No. TR, what'd you think of tonight's game? Let's get to tonight's game, TR.
How can we get the ball in Eben Berry's hands other than just kickoff?
That is a great, great, great point. Jerry, what would you do with Eben Berry, Veli Scally?
I guess you have a couple options here. I mean, obviously he's doing his thing at returner. If he's doing well that well at kickoff returner, I'd almost be interested as well to see, all right, like, what can we get him in the punt return game, or can he just not, or is he, you know, is he not as adept at catching punts as he is the kickoffs? And to me, man, hey, if he can catch those punts, like he can naturally catch those kickoffs, because you know you're gonna get him to return them. I mean, if there's not an issue actually catching the punts, I mean, I don't see how you can't also have him your starting punt returner. That's number one. Number two, you know, right now, you know, is it on the offensive side of the ball? Is it halfback? You know, you got Jalen Hurd. We talk about these things with Jalen Hurd. So with Jalen Hurd, you got to be looking, all right, 2 years out, you're probably going to have one more season. So beyond that, what are you looking at? So you got, you know, Kelly, Alvin Kamara is going to be a junior next year. I believe it is. So that being said, I mean, why, you got to be looking for something coming after those guys. So to me, like, if he runs that ball as naturally as he does, on those kickoff returns, then, I mean, wouldn't he be developing almost as a halfback, as your next, you know, backup to Kamara and Hurd in the future there with Kelly, until you get something, you know, you can get another landmark back like Hurd on campus, with some of these future classes. So to me, that's how I'd be looking to use him as, definitely, can he catch the punts? And also too, maybe at running back. I mean, I think we got enough wide receivers, but maybe running backs is proper to him the way he can run it up there and hit it.
Now you could definitely do some really creative things with him, TR. He is a unbelievable. In fact, I somebody said earlier, and I think it's right, it might have been you, Russell, did you say earlier that they've got, if you think about it, they've got Jennings on the wrong side of the ball, and they have him on the wrong side of the ball. One guy should be defending passes.
I think that was Bino's point, but it's interesting, yeah. I mean, you'd like to see him impact the ball. I hear what Jerry's saying about putting him in the punt return game, but
no.
Kamara and Sutton are a threat to house it any time they touch it, too.
Right, I'm not fixing broken.
That's what did Vanderbilt and you got a Vanderbilt Houston score?
31-0.
Oh God!
Houston beat the daylights out of them.
Offensive juggernaut.
Fanny's okay, guy. Man, I appreciate y'all, man, and Jerry. When you get in our FEMA quadrant, man, I look forward to seeing you, man.
Go big orange.
TR, out where Jerry's at. Out where Jerry's at. It's legal to have a Blunterio Smith. Jerry, when you travel, do you bring your Blunterio Smiths with you?
Man, you trying to get me caught up in one of those holding houses where you don't have a lawyer and you can't call out? And they just put like a black mask over you. You know what I mean? Like that stuff.
Moosehead, Canada's oldest independent brewery, proud sponsor of Jerry Colquitt's segment. And why not? K Because just like Tennessee football, Moosehead Lager, pure tradition. Brewing Nax, Lavel, fine beers for over 145 years. Moosehead Breweries. And their flagship brand, the Golden Lager, that's light in body, highly refreshing, offering a fine balance between malt sweetness and hop bitterness. Kind of like we are tonight. Sweet, a little bit bitter. But mostly sweet. Made from an age-old yeast culture. Moosehead Lager, brewed longer to impart its unique flavor. So answer the call and grab a Moosehead. Jerry, what'd you like about tonight's game? Then we'll go back to the phones.
Yeah, I liked how, you know, we talked about earlier in the week. I thought one of the biggest challenges for Tennessee was just coming off, you know, just some of these back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back weekends where it's just, you know, a slugfest, you know, for four quarters. And I thought if they could survive the first quarter and a half off of a team who was feeling really good about themselves.
Yep.
I thought they were going to be all right, you know, and I think I was listening to your show yesterday, and I'm kind of with, you know, I was a little perplexed at how much pressure Barnett and Vereen got, and I wasn't sure if that was a one-game deal where they were just so fired up for the Alabama game that they played out of their minds. So I was really looking to see if they brought that same kind of energy and intensity to this game. So to me, the fact that they, you know, survived that first quarter and a half, they also, I thought they kind of bottled up Kentucky's offense. I thought that once they got through that, I thought they were going to be all right. I really was happy to see what seemed like they relied on the running game with Hurd, Kamara, and also, you know, even Dobbs got a ton of yards as well. So between those three things, that, you know, it's kind of like I said earlier in the year, you know, one of the, I watched, the coach from Kansas City and the Philadelphia Eagles, where he always,
Andy Reid.
Like, no, the guy who returned the fumble return for the
Eagles. Oh, you're thinking about Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards. Yeah. Herm Edwards always says on those shows, look, when you go on the road and you play a tough opponent, the two things that you can bring is your running game and your defense. And I thought that they did both of that. You know, I thought that they at a certain point managed to get their way into the passing game, but definitely you can see early on in that game, and I thought they did the right thing. They relied on running and they set themselves up for success. I thought in quarter three and four.
865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Go back to our phones with the knowledge that portions of tonight's program, as we stay commercial break free, are presented by our friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Going to take great care of you. Exceptional service, unbeatable prices. Never going to promise you more than you will be delivered to you. When it comes to both domestic and import hydraulic cylinders and components, nobody's touching Dalton Hydraulics. It ain't going to happen. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cylinders sold each year worldwide. Never going to overlook the little guy. Going to take care of everybody exactly the same. That's what we do at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Online at daltonhydraulic.com. Proud sponsor of what we do here. As I remind you, my name is Tony Basilio. That's Basilio, available on Twitter and open 24/7 at your service. Russell Smith is across from me, who's getting ready to launch a new radio show at 1340 a.m. in town. And Russell, where do they find that online?
It's a good question. SportsRadioKnoxville.com.
SportsRadioKnoxville.com, 3 o'clock Eastern on Monday.
And it's not a new show, Tony. It's still...
Well, it is a new show.
No, just moving it to a different station.
You're a punkin' clown. No, anytime you move
it's the same show. Same show.
It'll
same
be different.
Guys.
You'll come back to me and go, yeah, it's different.
No.
Well, yeah, it's probably a different dynamic. Yeah, it's different. It's good. It's a good opportunity for you. It's good. It's good to be a little... Russell's getting mad at me. Okay, it's got a dirty look. All right, it's 1:30 in the morning.
Fine.
I'm fixing to get slid. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865 800-200-5402. Let's get our next call in as Jerry Colquitt joins. And I neglected to mention that Jerry's got a bunch of coaching experience as well under Philip Fulmer, under David Cutcliffe, under Mike Holmgren, and now he's coaching soccer in the greater Seattle area. As we get our next call in, hello and welcome.
Hey.
Yeah, hey, welcome in.
What's up, this is Chris from Georgia. Yeah,
hey, Chris.
It's a great game. Special teams is amazing. I looked up the record for most touchdown returns in a year, and it's 5. And with the opponents we're facing soon, especially with North Texas in that schedule, do you think that if teams are brave enough or dumb enough to kick towards Evan Berry, he could tie or possibly break the record this season?
Absolutely. Hey, the sky's the limit for him. What'd you say the record was?
5.
Absolutely. I mean, you're halfway home, and here's the thing about it. He's done this against top-level competition for the most part. You're getting ready to play some tomato cans. Hey, you think if North Texas kicks a ball to him, where do you think that ball's going?
Oh, it's going to go on the 5-yard line. And it's like Butch said, he tries to get them to get that, steal those 5 yards and get a running start on it. And with a team like North Texas, I mean, he's gonna run through everybody. I really don't. A lot of people want to see him with the ball more, but I kind of want to leave him rested as much as possible for kickoff return this season. I think in the future, I don't know. We got that Fiamese kid coming in. We got Alvin Kamara and Jalen Hurd for another year. I don't think we're going to need him at running back. Safety is going to take a big hit with McNeil and Randolph leaving this season. So I definitely think that he'll get a lot more time at safety. So I think for right now, just keep him on kickoff return and let him do his thing. I mean, it's like you said earlier, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So,
well, you know what? Here's my thing about kickoffs in college football today, though, is they're such a non-factor because more and more kickers are able to kick it into the end zone. And so if I've got a guy that's as dynamic as he is, man, I got to try. It's kind of like, just a thought here, and I do this a lot. I don't finish my sentences because I'm thinking about something else. When you look back at Cordarrelle Patterson's time here, don't you ever think, man, it sure would have been nice just to line him up under center one game and just let him play? Or, boy, it sure would have been nice to run a couple more things for him. Or
Vikings fans probably think that.
That's what I'm saying. You can't get the ball. You cannot get that guy on the ground.
Well, they figured it out halfway through the year when the season was already lost. And I remember he had, like, huge games against Mississippi State down there, and you know they finally started getting him the ball, but at that point it was
right. And then you're left to go, hey boy, it should have been nice to do that early on.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'd love to have the luxury of having a guy like that because that's just another toy to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I know Tennessee fans are always tired of hearing the can't wait till next year or we'll be better next year. But this team, I mean, it's like they said on the feed, we lose how many starters? 4 or 5 maybe at the most. That's if a couple guys do declare for the draft and like JRM, which some people say he might, some people say he won't. Who knows? But, I mean, if we return a lot of these guys and then plus, I mean, you got Kyler Kerbin's been playing out of position. You got Promise and Drew Richmond. You got Zach Stewart coming in, both, you know, red-shirted right now or gray-shirted. These guys come in and they fill in those holes, and these are natural tackles and stuff like that. I feel like you get Josh Dobbs the time in the pocket, he's just getting more and more accurate as the years go by. And if we don't lose a lot of turnover on the coaching staff, I could see the sky's the limit. It's like they said, it's the East is between Florida and Tennessee next year. I really see Tennessee finishing second in the East where we were supposed to, and you know Florida, they're going to win it. I hate to say it, they're going to win it, but I see a lot of promise on this team. I mean, we didn't have much turnover this season, and it's going to be the same. I mean, these guys are going to be seniors and juniors, and it's going to be insane next season.
Next year is going to be next year for the first time. If you're Butch Jones, you got a balancing act in your coaching staff because you have to balance the level of expectation on your team with the level of expectation on yourself with a tremendous amount of talent. That's a lot easier said than done.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's going to be very difficult. Yeah.
Is I don't want to see. I mean, I know people are upset with the board, but I think him and Dobbs are figuring each other out. I think if Ajaykian was here, we probably would have a better season at this point, just because they were comfortable with each other. You could tell they're starting to figure each other out. And I mean, you got a 75-yard bomb from Dobbs. Like, if you asked anybody 6 weeks ago, do you think Dobbs will throw a 75-yard touchdown pass this season? There ain't a person in the world that'd say, yeah, probably. I think he's figuring it out, and I think that it's going to be good things in the future. But I'll let you guys get on. It's late, so I better get some sleep, but appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. 865-200-5402. Yeah, you're not alone, as we got lines available if you want to get in with us tonight. Wazoo has just scored to go up by one, 28-27.
Well, Mike Leach doesn't have the chart. You're going for two.
7.5 minutes to go in the football game. Stanford is in line, perhaps, for a playoff berth.
Washington
if they can win
5-2.
Out.
They win this game, they're in charge of that division in the Pac-12.
Stanford sitting there at 6-1. They're good for these. They're good for one of these a year.
Love Mike Leach.
Jerry, what do you think of David Shaw, seeing him year in and year out, and their the job they do at Stanford?
I think he's one of the unsung heroes of the league as far as coaching goes over the last 5 to 7 years. You look at Harbaugh. I thought Kiffin had a nice start. Chip Kelly, to me, if you take that thing back 5 years, I think you have to mention those four names, and he's one of those three or four names that have been able to sustain success over time. And what I really like, during the times when everyone was just so scared to play University of Oregon, he was not at all afraid to line up against Oregon. And in fact, I mean, he would be the one stump that you would see oftentimes where Oregon would just, run the table against everybody else. But man, it was a horrible matchup for them to play Stanford. So, I'm honestly though a little bit surprised that he stayed there that long. I thought one or two things would happen. I thought either he would move, down south to Southern Cal, one of those schools somewhere, or he'd end up in the NFL, or maybe one of these Texas or like a University of Florida, a prestigious school like that. So, the fact that he's hung around, I mean, almost speaks volume as far as what he thinks of that university. I think he's a Northern California guy himself.
Schematically, Jerry, how am I going to get Kamara more touches? How do I make him more a part of what we're doing?
Interesting. I mean, you know what I mean? To me, if they just became more of a run game oriented offense. I know we talk about this one back, two back stuff, but I mean, to me, if they made a commitment to make the backs get more touches, I think you can very easily do it that way. As you saw tonight, I mean, if you just implemented more of that, I mean, if you even go back to Worley, I don't see Worley or I don't see a Dobbs, I don't see them being like a 30 attempts, 35 attempts type of quarterback in this offense, so given that, I kind of see without really having to change a whole lot, maybe even taking some of those rushes away from Dobbs. I mean, hey, why not give those attempts to Kamara? We're giving the ball to Dobbs quarterback. So, obviously who's the two better of the runners? It's going to be Kamara. So, I wouldn't mind seeing some of those runs, come out of Dobbs' hands. And putting Kamara on the field more.
Anything, Dubsy, for Jerry Colquitt, as we're slow on the phone lines here. It seems like we're winding down at 45 past 1 o'clock on a night where Tennessee beats Kentucky 52-21.
Yeah, Kamara had 4 carries, 2 catches, 1 punt return. Like to see him get his hands on the ball maybe 3 or 4 more times. Tennessee, they scored 28 points in the third quarter.
Explosion.
I mean, that's just coming out and putting your foot on their throat.
And they did it every which way but loose. to me, Jerry, it's a great sign when you take an opponent and you just take them and you just crush their neck. That's a sign that you're growing, isn't it, as a football program?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, again, you know, in this, to me, I thought, go back to the Dooley years. You know, if this would have been the same scenario, a Derek Dooley team, you would have had the opposite outcome. So to me, the fact that they are taking care of business, in these challenging moments when hey, they just been crushed emotionally, week after week for like 5-6 weeks now, for them to come out and take care of business against a hot Kentucky team, you know, it was their biggest game of the year at home. To me, that, I mean, that spells a sign of maturity as far as just, you know, this team not losing games, that they should not lose.
How do we feel about the defensive performance? We talked a lot about special teams and offense. You gave up 349 yards.
That doesn't matter.
But you held them to 21 points, and one of those was the fumble return. One of those touchdowns was a fumble return.
You didn't allow them when the game really mattered. In the first, it took them 14 and a half minutes to get a first down.
How about Kirkland?
Wow.
Showing up today.
Wow.
Even,
wow.
You know, besides the interception and the return, I mean, the first possession of the game, I think he had two huge tackles where it's just like, wow, that's a fast linebacker. I mean, if he continues to progress and has a nice offseason, you go into, you know, Tennessee basically plays a 4-2-5 now because they're a nickel all the time.
Yep.
If Reeves Maben and that dude are your linebackers next year, it's a pretty solid twosome right there.
Jerry, how about them using the fullback tonight a little bit? What'd you think of that?
Oh, come on, Tony. You're killing me. You're killing me.
Well, they did.
Well, it's an H-back. You know what I mean? Yes. It's going to be a frustration with us. I mean, to me, it's more of a, I think they do that to get the personnel grouping that they're looking for more so than they are actually trying to use the fullback in ways that, you know, we often speak about. And I thought they actually did that tonight to, if you look that long, touchdown pass to Malone.
Yep.
You know, we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now just over the season, man, why aren't our split ends and our flankers, you know, the two outermost, wide receivers in a formation usually, why aren't those guys catching more passes than they are? Well, the reason is because you're constantly getting help over the top. Well, tonight, just by putting in a different personnel group that spells, okay, we're going to run the football. You put two tight ends in there. Mm-hmm. They're going to go middle safety. They're going to keep base defense in. They're going to get their nickel defense off the field because they don't want to be hurt by the run, right? So now with middle safety in the field, hey, it's one-on-one football outside. You saw on that deep ball, we've been praying for that look for how – Well, you got it last week, too, late in the game.
They took advantage of it. Yep, run out of 12 personnel. And they actually attacked downfield. They attacked downfield last week, too. But tonight they really attacked downfield with Malone. And back to Dubsy's point, which is now that they've shortened that wide receiver rotation, Smith's a lot more comfortable. Pearson's a lot more comfortable. Malone's a lot more comfortable. They're not running nine guys in and out all the time. It doesn't look like a hockey line change. They actually had Kentucky on their heels tonight. They had them reeling, and they blew them out. They punched them in the face. They broke their neck. They smashed them. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the program tonight.
Thank you.
Enjoying it up early or anything.
Thank you.
Did you notice the three hotheads of college football were back at it today?
Who are the three hotheads of college football?
Muschamp was going off in Auburn, and Brian Kelly up there at Notre Dame, and then I guess our coach had to get in a little bit on it. They're storming around the sidelines. They love doing that, don't they?
Our coach looks like Buzzcut from Beavis and Butthead, the gym instructor. He looks just like that guy.
Kick me in the Jimmy.
Yeah, he looks just like that guy.
I just didn't understand why he had the lead, you know. He just got so upset. I was like, just, you know, enjoy it, coach. But JC had a great line on here one time about Jerry Green said that what's he doing over there trying to get a straitjacket endorsement? And I think of that sometimes when Coach Jones gets all bundled up under his armpits there. But yeah, it was great to get a victory tonight. We love to steamroll Kentucky, especially on their big day up there with the race and everything.
It's such a you know, it's just such a crusher for them, especially when the Pharaoh delivered today. Yeah, you know that was a crusher to them.
Well, I was just glad it literally rained on their parade in two different ways. And Russ, I'm glad you're going to be back on the air. You know, give us something good. 3 o'clock hour, you were doing a good job there. And listening to the program earlier tonight, you know, TR adding to the legend of Jerry Colquitt, I thought that TR had the year wrong. I'd forgotten about the shoulder injury in 93. But if you'll remember in 92, Jerry, you actually came in and played a few plays. Shuler had been hit in the head, not silly. Later admitting he didn't even remember the rest of the game. He was concussed. Jerry kind of got cheated out of the Bama game 2 years in a row, is that right?
Well, yeah. What happened that year is, I think it was Lemansky Hall, got him on a blindside blitz, knocked him out of the game. And on my second play coming in the game, I'm rolling out to the right, and they had everything covered. So the best thing I could do was just try to get to the sideline, get out of bounds. Well, guess what? I didn't make it. And when I hit the ground, my shoulder hit the ground, but also I lost all the feeling in my hand. My whole hand went numb. I couldn't feel my right hand. So basically I'm trying to take the snap, in the 92 game, my third or fourth snap, in that series on the third down, and I fumbled the snap. I mean, I was so mad because I was like, man, like, this is the perfect opportunity. I was ready for that moment, but geez, like, you know, he gets knocked out. It's an Alabama game. I go in two plays later. Boom. You know, I can't feel from my elbow down. I land on my elbow, you know. So like, yeah, those Alabama games sometimes, man, like, people have no idea some of the crazy stuff that just happens, you know, between the lines out there. It's amazing when you think about it.
And I guarantee you there was some stuff last week that happened that none of us know about, nor will we.
Well, we played them tough that year, or you guys did, of course, Jerry. It was a 17-10. Of course, Alabama was one of their great teams. They went on to win the national championship that year. And, of course, we ended up a week after losing a heartbreaker in South Carolina. And Coach Majors was shown the door. It's a pretty historical series of events there. But, guys, I was just enjoying the program.
Thank
I hope
you,
to get some more callers, and y'all have a good one.
Thank you, brother. Let's get our next call in here. Be our final call of the evening. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. It's Sean from Cali.
Hey, Sean and Cali. Welcome in, man.
Hey, I got to the game late. I took the kids trick-or-treating, so I saw the first quarter and then was pleasantly surprised by the explosion that Tennessee had later on in the game. But the main thing I wanted to ask you was, and I think a lot of credit should go to Jancic for how his defense played today. They've been doing a lot better. But are we watching DeBoard finally get the hang of things and running the offense down here?
Jerry, thoughts?
No. I think, man, they truly are benefit from having an amazing tailback and a quarterback, man, who just, although I think he's still developing as a quarterback, I think he is an awesome football player. And I think right now, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a better quarterback, but it's also depending on the development of your team, man, sometimes you just need a leader and a football player at that position. I think they've hit the nail on the head as far as that goes, by having Josh Dobbs, as their quarterback this year, someone who's just resilient, who's just not an awesome player. To me, he's on almost like that T. Martin mold. When I first came up here to Seattle, when Rick Neuheisel was here, I think it was like the 01 season, they had Marcus Tuiasosopo, and he reminds me so much of a Dobbs or T. Martin in 98, where, you know, the guys are still developing as passers. You know, T. Martin came back the next year, hit 26 out of 26 against South Carolina. So
with that 98 season, he was still developing, but he was just a gamer, man. I mean, you know, the bigger the game, you know, the more clutch he was and making the right plays when he needed to make them. So I feel like, those guys' success is more, it's more of an attribute, I think, of the players. I still think, you know, there are a few things that, they could be doing to take advantage of, you know, some of these guys' skills. We talk about the tailback position all the time.
Hey, Jerry, last week, not to talk over you, but last week in the Alabama game, they had a perfect game the first 15, 20 plays of that game.
Well, they worked. But, again, you know, part of their development is just getting the most out of all the players. So,
well,
I feel like...
That's well, DeBoer gets credit for that. I mean, they get the credit for that, right?
Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, if, you know, I think just by the nature of the talent on the team, they're benefiting from that. You know, are they doing things that are way, way harder than they should be? And I feel like the answer still is yes. Again, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, you have one of the best eye backs in the college game right now, and that kid can't get a snap from the eye.
Jerry. Nobody plays I formation football anymore. I mean, I love you to death, but, and I understand what you're saying, and I feel you, and I agree, but that's just not happening. So the question is tonight, is the offensive coordinator growing into what he's doing? And I think the answer is yes, he is. He's getting more comfortable with his personnel, with their personnel groupings, and they're doing good things.
Well, he's come out of retirement for 2 years. I mean, he needs to work back into it. There's a learning curve. Guy was scrubbing a pool last year.
Well, those 3 hours before the game, that probably helps, right?
Well, Sean, that's been a great thing. I mean, Jerry, admit that he's done well.
I'll say this. This is one area where I do think that they have done well. To me, I feel like they are just going with the best playmakers on the team right now as far as the number of touches, yada, yada. I mean, what those touches look like, again, I have a different opinion about that. I'm less positive that way. But I will agree with you from this standpoint. I mean, it seemed like at about, what, the Florida game or so, they were like, look, however we do it is less of an issue, but the main issue is, let's just get the ball in Hurd and Dobbs' hands. And I'm not even a big fan of Dobbs running as much as he does. But to me,
right,
hey, if he's our second best running back, then so be it. If it means that we get a W, and I feel like, you know, if you're going to give the OC credit that way, then yeah, that from that standpoint, I do agree.
And
well,
that's
I'm
the deal. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I didn't mean.
No,
to talk
well, Sean, that's. And that's all I'm looking for, is to hear a guy that I've got a lot of respect for with his football knowledge say, yeah, that's right. I mean, it might not be getting done the way you agree with, and that's fine, but at some point you got to look at it and go, well, they're getting the ball in the playmaker's hands, they're doing it smartly, they're playing a clean brand of football, they're not hurting themselves with penalties, they've actually been better with their personnel groupings. Now, I think a lot of it, Sean, also has to do with the fact that they're not able to run 10 bodies in and out with their wide receiving core. And Butch Jones, after his passing game has gotten in the groove in the last several games, still has to come out and say, and he'll say it again Monday, we need 10 wide receivers. Why? You don't need 10 wide receivers, Coach. You don't.
Your top five's your top five for a reason.
Yes.
For the most part.
You play your five till their tongues hang out and fall out.
I mean, and especially you saw it today too, because like you said, they got in a groove. And I think you also said it earlier. Like I said, I got on the show real late tonight. But, I mean, you could tell after a while they were starting to get into a groove. And Von Pearson over the last few games has started to really feel it. But one thing we saw today that we haven't seen all season except for the second half of the Georgia game when we were down big, was an aggressive downfield passing attack. And I was also really happy to see Butch Jones early in the fourth quarter. He's still over there screaming, trying to put his foot on the throats of Kentucky. And I
I pointed to my wife and I said, that's what we've been looking for
yep.
all year.
Yep. Just kill shot. Lay the kill shot down.
If we had that, and I hate that coulda, woulda, shoulda game. I hate that. But if we had that in the beginning of the year, I mean, we're booking our trips to Atlanta right now. I'm taking my savings and I'm getting a plane ticket down to Atlanta.
Man, it's disgusting that you think about how Florida, you look at Florida's team that they won with today.
Yeah,
are you kidding?